Hello, Frankie.
Yes.
Hey, it's Andy Thunders from Uncivil Revolt Webzine and Rage Breed Magazine. How are you today?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, I am just ecstatic. I just want to say, starting off, that I am a huge Quiet Riot fan. I'm 28 years old, but I was brought up on the old school. And it's just an absolute honor to be able to interview you today, man.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your support of Quiet Riot.
No problem. I, you know, I basically grew up listening to you guys, but in a completely different era, so.
Well, that's, you know, that's equally as gratifying as everyone that that was with us at the very beginning. But getting new fans is always a wonderful thing for us, so I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I heard, I've sampled the new album so far, and it's incredible. It still sounds like you guys, even despite all the changes in the lineups throughout the years. It's greatly produced, and it's just rocking, man.
Oh, thank you so very much. That means the world to me.
I mean, I know it's hard to please a lot of critics who, like, you know, I don't know if you want to call them purists, but, I mean, you have every right to have the band in motion as it is. It's just as legitimate as it was. You're still making new music that's still exactly the same as you were doing back then, you know?
Well, you know, you have to take the good reviews with the bad reviews, you know? And I don't really worry about that at all, not whatsoever.
You just got to take it as it is and kind of not compare it to anything else that was before to really give it a fair chance.
It's good to have, you know, certain things that are linked to the past, but it's also the motivation is to keep moving forward.
Naturally, as any live or working band is to do. What else do you
that
do?
That is correct.
So, you joined the band in what, 1981, 1982?
Well, the first time Kevin and I discussed working together was in January of 1980. But at the time I was in five different bands at the same time, so I had to decide, you know, which of the bands I was going to continue with and which of the bands I needed to not continue with in order to make time for Kevin. So
naturally,
but we started in all earnest sometime in 1980. And continued through 81, recording the Mental Health record in 82, which was released in 1983.
Yeah. That record still holds up today, at least for me.
Yeah, it does for me as well.
The deep cuts, too, like Breathless and Love's a Bitch, are kind of overlooked by title track and the single, obviously. You know?
Well, both of those tracks live, so they're still meaningful to us.
They're just deep cuts that not everyone thinks about, you know? You have them on all of your albums, no matter if it was the Shortino records or the classic lineup or what. There's always certain songs that just hit you, and they're not always they're always the deep cuts for me, at least. I don't know about other people.
Well, that's what gives the record, you know, an even greater lifespan, because it's not just the hits or what might be perceived as the popular songs, but it's when you really listen to a record and get into the deep track. So that really does help have a band a longer career.
Yeah, what was it like, first of all, what's the music business like now compared to what it was back then?
There is no music business now.
I interviewed Phil Lewis from LA Guns recently, and he basically said the same thing. It's true.
Yeah, it's pretty much disappeared. I mean, in the early '80s, all the way through the mid '80s, it was very electric and very alive, and there were a lot of record labels, and you were able to record multiple records and do videos and everything like that.
Now it seems now, even rock and roll is a cool club.
Now it's the case that if you're going to make a record, you know, you're taking risks doing it. And if you're making a video, you're taking an even greater risk.
Yeah. But that's what bands naturally do, so I could see why that beat ass backwards right there.
Well, if you're going to be a complete musician, it's not just about performing. performing live and performing, you know, your songs from your past, but it's also about creating new music and infusing that into your live material if it's at all possible.
Naturally so. I mean, LA Guns put out two new records since Phil and Tracy got back together, and there's a plethora of good new music out. And
absolutely.
Obviously, James Durbin sings on the new album, but you have Dizzy Pearl doing In the Spot Now, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Was that just a natural progression to where it needed to be, you think? Or... I guess you got lucky there, too. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
It's been a bumpy road.
There were a couple of people, there were a couple of singers that I was potentially going to reach out to that didn't have any history with Quiet Riot, but I wanted to reach out to Jizzy first and to see if he might be interested in coming back, because he's an old friend. He's a great singer. He's a great performer.
That's
so,
for sure.
You know, that's how that came about.
He's a great fit for the sound, too.
Everybody has said, you know, once we made the announcement that Jizzy was back in the band, the approval and support has been amazing across the board.
I mean, James was good in his own right, but Jizzy, knowing the stuff he did before,
he's a very talented singer. And
a hell of a voice, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
But Jizzy just seems the right fit, and did seem the first time around, too. Which I'm kind of glad that's kind of gone full circle in that respect, since you revived the band with Kevin's mom's blessing, which I was still in high school when that news broke, and I was devastated myself. You know?
It was
the last one I would have expected.
It's something that's unbelievable.
Yeah, but that's... Sometimes that's the way things go, unfortunately. But I'm glad you're still sticking to it, and I'm sure with what you got going on, it's got you... you know, thinking in that respect, too.
Well, everything is a work in progress.
Yeah. And obviously, music's the only thing that you do, you know? You played in Wasp when you weren't in Riot for the Headless Children, right?
Yeah, well, besides my family, the most important thing in my life is Quiet Riot and the Quiet Riot fans.
Naturally. I mean, that's kind of something that's been your life, you know?
Absolutely.
And I just admire you for still continuing the band, like I said. You're one of those...
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and the new album sounds great. So, who's actually all in the lineup then now? I'm sorry I'm a little rusty on that.
That's okay. We've got Chuck Wright, who has been a part of the Quiet Riot family on and off since 1982, is on bass, and Alex has been Alex Grassi has been the guitarist in the band for 14 years, and as we just mentioned, with the return of Jizzy, who did 3 years with us, that completes the Quiet Riot lineup.
Nice. It's got to be crazy all these years later to still be able to be like, yeah, I'm in Quiet Riot. Like, it's just. I can't imagine having that feeling of still having that around and still viable and wanting to be seen, you know?
Well, to me, it's a privilege to continue to be able to do this this thing called Quiet Riot, and I grow, you know, I owe it a great deal to all the Quiet Riot fans that have supported us from the beginning, and all the newer fans like yourself.
Yeah. That's just, you know, and it's funny, because... Is it really true that you guys really didn't want to record Come On, Feel the Noise? So you tried to play it fairly?
It didn't matter to me one way or another. Kevin DeBro was adamant. adamant not to do it. So we actually never rehearsed or worked on the song until the day we recorded it.
Is it true you tried to play it shitty, or was that just an exaggeration?
Well, we thought because we didn't rehearse the song and we didn't know the song that it was going to turn out poorly. I just sat down and started playing, and I just, you know, did what I did, the arrangement isn't the same as Slade, and there's a part that's not even in our version of the song, not because it was planned that way, but purely because I didn't know the song and I didn't know the arrangement. I have this thing in me when I sit down and start to play the drums. I do it to the best of my abilities,
yeah.
Even if I don't know what I'm doing. and the track turned out really well. The producer was very happy with it. The first take on drums is what you have on the record.
Yeah, that's just incredible. And it goes to really show that even in that moment where you didn't rehearse it, so maybe your technical prowess as a band wasn't really actually 100% there for that song. It was the raw combustion of just doing it on the fly and the energy, I think, that just transcended. Obviously, the amazing guitar work and everything else on that track, everything is, it sounds good.
Yeah, I think the fact that purely by accident we didn't play it or recorded it exactly as the original version may have added to the excitement of the track.
Possibly as well, yeah. But it was just kind of on the fly. Like, you didn't rehearse it or practice. You just went in there and did it, and, well, what do you know?
Yeah, we thought it would end up terrible, and the producer would decide, okay, you know, let's not do this song, and it ended up being the complete opposite.
Yeah. Happy accidents, right?
Absolutely.
I've got a family myself, so that means two things for me as well.
There you go.
I wasn't prepared the first time, but the second time I was overjoyed as well, just as much as I was the first time, despite the fact that I was scared shitless. And each child changes you as a man.
Of course.
Especially two daughters.
Yep, that'll do it.
What is your actual favorite Quiet Riot album out of your whole entire catalog? Just your personal favorite, and why?
There's two. I think it obviously is the Metal Health record, because that was a very important record. If it hadn't been as successful as it has been, it was still an important record to us. And then the last one that the late, great Kevin Dubrow did with us, Rehab, I was really, really happy with the way that record turned out. So those two are standouts. But, you know, there's no Quiet Riot record I don't love. I love them all.
Well, naturally. They've all got their own character to a degree. I love Condition Critical as well, and the Shortino stuff was fantastic. QR3, which you either love or hate, but I really think that's a really great record.
I don't have any regrets when it comes to the Quiet Riot recorded history.
You guys always kind of did what you did best. Maybe added certain elements of things lightly here or there, but you never really deviated from the loud, abrasive, you know, hard rock, heavy metal that you do.
Well, you know, as the saying goes, you know, you can't please everyone, so you may as well please yourself, and that's where you have to start.
Naturally. Do you have any favorite memories of Kevin Dubrow? Like any?
Too many to even begin to tell, because we were best friends for 27 years. So
can you tell us one of your favorite funny stories?
That's a lot of history.
Any funny stories?
He was the single funniest man. He was the single funniest man I've ever known.
Oh God. He did seem like he had a bit of that clown in him a bit, you know.
He had some clown in him and a lot of ham sometimes.
Any examples you could give us specifically?
Well, let's just say when we were standing on the stage at the US Festival in 1983, looking out at the audience, which was 375,000 plus.
Yeah.
Kevin looked at me, and he looked at the audience, and he looked at me, and he goes, what do you think? And I said to him, well, if we don't suck, this is going to be great.
Wow.
Yeah, like, oh, if we don't suck, this will be great. It's like, well, what happens if we do?
Yeah, well, we weren't worried about it at the time. We just knew that we were going to go out there and try to knock it out of the park, and we did.
Yeah. I mean, I watched a lot of that footage, and you guys seem to have been at your, I'd say your peak, at least in that era, because like I said, each era is different, so each era's had its own peak. But you guys, as far as performing and sounding, you guys sounded the best, I think, out of all the bands that played there on that day. That, and that's not
well,
me,
you know,
that's just being honest.
Well, we were lucky to be at the right place at the right time with the right band, the right lineup, and the right songs.
Yeah. Even with all the backlash throughout the years, did that hurt you as much as it, like, the history's portrayed?
Well, you know, I don't worry about that kind of stuff because, again, you can't please everyone. And you know, you have very few bands that can sustain being at the top, you know, for their entire career. You know, Michael Jackson was one for the most part. Paul McCartney, you know, artists like that. So
everybody's got a bit of controversy.
Yeah, but the fact that, that you know, 3.5 decades later, we're still here recording music and making videos and performing live, to me, that's the true test of a band's longevity.
Well, naturally so. I mean, you're not just out there cranking out the old hits that you could easily do. You're
absolutely.
I mean, that speaks volumes. People don't even realize that because they view music as a commodity these days, it seems, and that's what bothers me a lot. I grew up with a record player and albums galore at 14 years old and even 8 tracks. You know, I immersed myself in it, and I still do. You know, they don't appreciate things because they have such easy access instantly.
That's absolutely correct.
It ruins the sacredness of actually saving your money for a specific record, you know, and going out and buying it and listening to it the whole way through, looking at the artwork. It's so much more than just music, quote unquote, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, that's the difference between then and now, and that's why, you know, those, 1980s decade was so important, as was the 70s and the 60s before it.
I almost wonder if that's why there's so much nostalgia for those eras, though, at the same time, but yet they could change it themselves.
Well, it's possible, because the music is so different now, and the music can sometimes be very sterile and overproduced, and completely everything is fixed, so everything is exactly perfect.
Even mainstream modern rock and metal
is
slickly produced.
Yeah,
to the
which
point.
Is unnatural. I mean,
yeah.
You know, music should be an emotional experience. It should not be just a technical experience.
And a condensed, watered-down version, basically. That's what it does. Man, so, I mean, all these lineups later, how's it feel?
I'm just happy to still be on the planet, and I'm just happy to still be in Quiet Riot.
You survived the 80s, right?
Yeah, I pretty much survived everything so far.
And you were part of the reason why the 80s were kind of the 80s in a way, I guess you could say. At least the band as a whole, that album that was the first heavy metal album to hit the top of the charts.
Well, we were lucky to kickstart, you know, what became, you know, that
hair
generation's
metal.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, they call it hair metal. But yeah, that's...
Yeah, you can call it whatever you want to call it.
To me, it's just hard rock with a, you know... slightly less leathery and, you know, dudes with beards vibe, you know. Nothing wrong with a little glam. What were some of your influences?
I'm just glad to still be in the game.
Absolutely. What are some of your influences?
Early on it was the Beatles and Dave Clark Five, and then it was Jimi Hendrix and Queen, and my single biggest influence to this day is Led Zeppelin.
I was just watching The Song Remains the Same earlier.
Yeah, that's a great film.
Yeah, I've got the four symbols tattooed. I love Zeppelin as well. What's your favorite Zeppelin album?
That's a tough one, but if I only had to pick one, it would have to be Led Zeppelin 1.
For me, it's Houses of the Holy, No Quarter. That's my explanation and reasoning for that.
Well, you know, Led Zeppelin never put out a bad album.
That is true. Just like Quiet Riot never put out a bad album, in my opinion.
Thank you so much.
So, what was it like working with all the different singers, too? Like, they each obviously had their own temperaments. Was that a wild ride with the band members sometimes, like dealing with the different personalities or getting to know them?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, everybody has their own opinions as to how things should be. But the reality in the situation is that I've been around for the entire ride, and at the end of the day, my opinion holds a lot of weight. Sometimes that doesn't seem to work with some singers, and therefore they decide to go off on their own.
They call it lead singer disease. Is that a real
thing?
Well,
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but like I said, you know, Quiet Riot is not the army, and it's not a prison. You know, you're welcome to be in it if you're invited to be in it, and you're welcome to leave anytime you want to leave.
Yeah, naturally so. I mean, you've got a mission and a focus, and, you know, I can see where you're coming from, because everybody says a band should be a democracy, but somebody needs to be the chief.
Well, somebody has to be responsible, and a lot of times when you have that democracy and you follow somebody else's lead and it goes sideways, at the end of the day, I'm the one that's held responsible. So I tend to only be held responsible for the decisions I make, not the decisions that others want me to make.
Naturally. That makes total sense. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, we've all heard stories of crazy stories. Can you describe what the Sunset Strip was like in the 80s?
It was electric. It was very colorful. There were multiple bands playing at multiple venues every single night, and it was a fun time. You know, everybody got dressed to go out and have a good time, and there were so many bands to see. It was just absolutely wonderful. It seemed to be the most creative time of all of our lives.
Yeah, I see so many documentaries, you know, The Decline Part 2 and everything like that, that just really showcases what it actually looked like. And it just looks like an absolute haven, like the rock and roll promised land, the last one that, besides the, if you can count the grunge movement in the 90s, I think, to have any authentic, you know.
Well, it was like an amusement park for degenerates. It was great.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And rock and roll and being a degenerate kind of seems to go hand in hand.
Well, we've always been the outsiders. You know, we were never the corporate. We were always the outsiders.
Yeah, and that fits well with the fan demographic, too. I never fit in anywhere.
Yep, that's the way it works out.
But, you know, sometimes the quote-unquote losers do get lucky sometimes.
Hey, there are no losers. There's all winners.
I like that. So, we've only got a couple minutes left. Despite the fact that James left, do you have warm memories of recording the new album? Are you pleased with the results? Like, are you satisfied with how it came out?
Yeah, I'm really happy with the way it came out, because on this record, I had the opportunity to have some friends who were not in the band, but who were really, really good songwriters, and have them write lyrics and melodies to some of the songs on the record. Jacob Button, for one, he's the first first one I reached out to because he's an amazing songwriter and singer and guitarist. And he wrote the lyrics and the melodies to Don't Call It Love and The Blood, which is the video song.
Yeah, they're both fantastic tracks.
Yeah, Heartbreak City and Devil That You Know, and he also sang background on those tracks on the record.
Wow.
And then for the two heavier songs, Change or Die and Insanity, I reached out to another friend, Neil Turbin. So he wrote the lyrics and melodies and sang background to those two songs. And then for the odd track, the blues song, I asked another friend that I work with, August Young, who wrote the lyrics and the melodies and sang background to Roll On. So
nice.
If we had a much more diverse songwriting team on this one.
Just to kind of see what you could do.
Absolutely. You know, you bring the songs, the right songs to the right people, and sometimes you have good results, and I think we have good results on this one.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. As a, you know, fan of the old school stuff, and I have to say that there's absolutely nothing wrong or nothing that's not Quiet Riot about this record. There's some new elements too there, but it fits. It's not like you're going completely out of left field on some tracks, and, you know, it's still, as diverse as it is, it's still Quiet Riot.
That was the ultimate goal, and I'm glad you get it.
I absolutely do. I actually want to ask you if there's a way I could find a signed copy of that.
Well, I don't even have a copy of it yet because the record doesn't come out until November 8th, so I can't answer that question for you at the moment.
Okay. So do you have any big shows planned that you're looking forward to?
In the future? I just played the Whiskey this past Saturday, October 26th, and we're winding down the year, so we only have one date in November that we're doing, and then one date in December, but we already have dates booked for 2020, and I'm looking forward to going out on the road in support of those dates with Quiet Riot.
Nice. It'll be glad to, if you come near upstate New York, I'll be there, man.
I look forward to it. I look forward to meeting you, and I'll buy you a beer.
Oh, perfect. I'll buy you a beer, too.
There you go. Now we're even.
All right. Well, hey, man, I know you probably have a couple minutes to get ready for the next one. This has been an absolute honor for me to you. Thank you. The music has gotten me through so much. You have no idea. And I wish only the best for you and the boys in Quiet Riot. And I hope to be able to meet you, and we'll buy each other beers.
Well, thank you truly for all the support. And if you find out we're playing anywhere near you, reach out to me, and I'll be happy to put you on the guest list.
All right, man. I appreciate it very much. Cheers, and rock on, man.
All right, thank you. You have a great week.
You too, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.